Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today. Hi there, friend. I'm J. Mark Horst with some important information you need as we begin today's broadcast. 3 weeks ago, we began airing a series of messages from the book of 1 Corinthians. And if you heard the first message, you recognize the voice of our founder and first president, Dr. J. Otis Yoder. But due to some technical difficulties in our recording studio, the reproduction of several of those messages in the series by Dr. Yoder were not of high enough recording quality to put on the air. That gave us two options. One, drop the messages from the series completely, or two, have someone else revoice them. So on today's program, yours truly will be revoicing one of Dr. Yoder's original messages. Today's message is titled, God's Superior Plan. The laver at the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem has a very important place in the worship of those who come there. The worshipers come to wash. They wash their hands and their feet. They wash their faces. But their hearts are untouched. Nothing has happened to their hearts. Jesus spoke one time of how people are defiled. The Pharisees were concerned because the disciples were coming from the marketplace and they had not washed their hands before they ate. So they complained to Jesus about this. But Jesus taught a different way. You see, Jesus understood that defilement comes from the inside, not from the outside. Oh, I know many people would like to clean up the outside and make themselves acceptable to God. But I want to tell you, friend, you can't do it. You cannot make yourself acceptable to God by trying to clean up the outside. The reason is, He is absolutely holy. He understands the inside as no one else does. In fact, you cannot hide anything from Him. He has a better plan. His plan is one that meets your need where you cannot meet it. So what can you do? You must depend on God's plan. And I want to show you God's superior plan. It's outlined for us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and a sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. My friend, God's plan is superior because it has certain inherent qualities that we so tragically need. The first quality is its exclusive calling. The apostle said, not many wise, those who feel self-sufficient by human standards. I have to tell you that all academic credentials are of no value as far as the salvation of your soul is concerned. As far as God's plan is concerned, your academic credentials are worthless. Not many wise, the apostle says, not many mighty. The powerful have no particular standing before God. The fact of the matter is, they sense no need. The powerful feel like, I can do it myself. I don't have to depend on anybody else. That's what the Humanist Manifesto says. I don't need to depend on anybody else. I don't need anybody outside of myself. My friend, what a sad situation that is to be in. But then the apostle goes on to say, not many noble, that is well born. Some people depend upon the family name. But God says, not many noble. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't look on faces.
See, the first quality of God's plan is that it is exclusive in its calling. Listen to what another man says about that. In respect to each of these classes, the apostle does not say that there were no men of wealth and power and birth, but that the mass or body of Christians was not composed of such. They were made up of those who were in humble life. There were a few, indeed, of rank and property, as there are now. But then, as now, the great mass was composed of those who were from the lower conditions of society. End of quote. Yes, that's true today, my friend, so don't be discouraged. The second quality is its conclusive choice. It seems like the apostle began at the bottom and went down. You might be surprised at that, but I want you to notice how he began at the bottom with the word base. He said, "and the base things of the world." That means ignoble or of little consequence in the eyes of man. Now you wouldn't start there, would you? That's where Paul started, and that's where God started with the superior plan, the base things of the world and the things that are despised, things of no value. You see, we are going down, base, despised, and then non-existent, descending the list, finally to nothing, at the end of the line. There is no other choice now. It is conclusive. Those non-entities or things that do not exist bring to nothing the things that do exist. Can you imagine that? Look at what the apostle said there. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Non-entities, things that don't exist, will bring to nothing the things that do exist. The result is, no flesh can stand up. Listen to the apostle Paul again. He knew of it, and he wrote about it in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. This is what he said. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. My friend, all that you can bring together is nothing. To experience God's superior plan, we must come with nothing and as nothing. Another made this remark. There is no royal way to the favor of God. No monarch is saved because he is a monarch. No philosopher because he is a philosopher. No rich man because he is rich. No poor man because he is poor. All are placed on the same level. All are to be saved in the same way. All are to become willing to give the entire glory to God. And then the third quality is its inclusive covenant. Oh, stay with me here. But of him, coming from him, in contrast to the plans of men, God's plan focuses on Jesus Christ. Men's plans focus on themselves. God's plan draws from Jesus. So these four wonderful experiences that are listed here, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, we have in Jesus. Fullness of salvation includes all these. It includes wisdom. Human understanding lacks wisdom. Divine wisdom is abundant. I quote, "It often happens that obscure and ignorant men who have been taught in the school of Christ have more true and real knowledge of that which concerns their welfare, and evince more real practical wisdom than can be learned in all the schools of philosophy and learning on earth." Amen. That is right. A Christian can see farther on his knees than a philosopher can on his tiptoes. And then righteousness, right standing with God. We are all by nature alienated from God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We want to get into right standing with God, and that's where Jesus Christ comes in. Then, he was made unto us sanctification. That means to be made holy. But only God is holy. So by Christ, we are made holy. We give ourselves, the members of our bodies, to him. Paul wrote about that in Romans 6:18 and 19. This is what he says. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And then, redemption completed, fully, holy, completely redeemed, soul, spirit, and body. Marvelous. Paul's great chapter on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, is proof of how in Christ Jesus we are made redemption. Listen to the words of another. The sense is, it is by Christ that we are redeemed, by him that an atonement is made, by him that we are pardoned, by him that we are delivered from the dominion of sin and the power of our enemies, and by him that we shall be rescued from the grave and raised up to everlasting life. Thus, the whole work depends on him, and no part of it is to be ascribed to philosophy, the talent, or the wisdom of men. End of quote. We may rightly glory only in him. Friend, rejoice with me in God's superior plan because of its exclusive calling. We must come his way. It's conclusive choice. There is no other way. You cannot figure out your own way to God. And finally, it's inclusive covenant. We have all in Christ.
Father in heaven, we thank you for showing us so clearly the qualities of your superior plan for our salvation. Without that plan, we would still be groping in the darkness of our own limited understanding, trying to find our own way to you. Thank you so much for devising a plan so wonderful, so unique, that we know instinctively it could never have been made by man. Father, I pray that you will take these truths and apply them to my heart and to the heart of my listening friend. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. What about you, my friend? Has your life been transformed by the love of Jesus? Or are you still trying to find acceptance with God by the things that you do? God's superior plan is that we can be accepted by him on the basis of what Jesus Christ accomplished by his death on the cross. If you've never accepted God's plan for your salvation, let me urge you to do it today. To help you understand what this means, we have a little booklet we'd like to send to you. It's called The Choice Is Yours. Just write and ask for the booklet, The Choice Is Yours. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania 15533. Or go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us your request by the email link provided there. Remember, the booklet is called The Choice Is Yours. Once again, the mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. Now, be sure to join us next week. We'll continue our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.